This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
To declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Fear here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, on the Free Talk Live Network on Genesis. And we're having a conversation with retired Lieutenant Colonel Karen Katowski. Now, she was operating in the Pentagon right next to the Office of Special Plans while Rumsfeld and Cheney are milling around there. And she was writing, you know, for Colonel Hackworth's site that is very well known and respected by the troops. And she was, under a pseudonym, she was saying what was going on. You know, a lot of us in the talk show industry, we understood what was happening from the writings a lot of Karen. And they were very concerned about who was leaking. Well, it wasn't a secret. She was sending this stuff out, you know, to a lot of the other officers in the Pentagon and so on. But it just never occurred to them that it was a woman. So she took retirement and started writing and doing a lot of talk shows and movies and documentaries and teaching. You know, she's a professor in Western Virginia. And we've been friends for almost 20 years, and I find her perspective, her knowledge, and her institutional understanding of what's going on very beneficial, and I'm sure you will too.
There's going to be people voting for lots of different parties, and increasingly we've seen that anyway. But I think this time, because of what they've done to Trump, there's a huge wild card with the Trump voter. The Trump voter is angry at what the Democrats have done. So they're not going to say, oh, well, you know, I'll vote Democrat. I'll go back to voting Democrat. Because, you know, Trump got Democratic votes. They're not going to do that this time. And Democrats have miscalculated terribly with what they've done. I don't understand this totalitarianism that we have from the Democrats. It is backfiring. But all that being said, in a 3 or 4 way race, the Democrats can do it. All they need is a front person. But they can't do it with the California governor being their front person because he's too left. But if they had Hillary with Newsom, I think they could. People would say, "Oh, there's an adult ticket. There's a caring Democrat ticket." And then all the military industrial complex.
Who are these people you think that are seduced by that ticket?
Well, people that vote aren't thinkers. Most people, if you actually think about it, you wouldn't vote, right? So
I'm
the people who vote are the people that are. I know. Yeah. So the people who vote. And the people who will vote for Democrats are much like have always voted. They have a vote-producing machine in the urban areas that can deliver to you. They can deliver to any candidate.
Yeah,
even
a big
the worst
stack
one,
of paper.
Probably.
Woo,
you know,
we got a big stack. We're going to put it in the box.
Well, I mean, they can deliver 35 million votes without even blinking an eye. In the urban areas, the devoted Democrat voter who hates Trump and hates Republicans, who always votes Democratic, those votes they can count on. But the Republicans can only count on maybe 20 million. So, you know, I'll say 20. I'm assuming there's like 80 million voters. So 30 will automatically go Democrat. Because of what they've done to Trump, I think Trump will take 15 or 20 million, even if he's not on the ticket. You've got RFK taking votes, and then what's left will go to a DeSantis or a who's, I can't remember the lady from South Carolina, neocon. She's Nikki Haley, I guess. She could pull it. But anyway, it's in a three or four way race. The biggest bulk still is to the Democratic Party. So who will be their leader? And I'm just saying, Clinton's got campaign hair. And you can look at it on that link I have. I said Hillary with a new campaign hairstyle. You know, she wants to fight for till the last Ukrainian. She's a friend of the deep state. She's a friend of the neocons. She's done it before in a sense. I mean, certainly as the State Department, the Democrats trust her, even if they don't like her that much, they trust her. And, you know, all she has to do is pair up with the right sidekick, the right vice president. Anyway, that's my thinking. So I don't know. You know, obviously, this next campaign or this next election in 2024 is going to be very strange. I mean, I've never even heard. Only in a third world banana republic would you see a candidate for president being treated like we are in this country treating Trump. It's just insane, and it doesn't stop. And nobody seems to be putting the brakes on any of it.
What are the groups that, you know, a factor in this thing is, I don't know how you say it, Missy Mac, you know, stands for Military Industrial Congressional Intelligence Media Academia Think Tank. I mean, seriously. You know, this is a thing? Explain it to people.
Ray McGovern came up with this acronym. It starts out like Eisenhower's Military Industrial Complex, but he puts into it, the congressional academia and think tanks and media. So, because so much of what we think today, or what we're allowed to think, or what we're allowed to see on mainstream media is controlled by the deep state. You could take the powers that be, whoever's in charge. And that's not Trump, because remember when Trump was president, they were still in charge. I mean, his 4 years of being president was a testimony to how little power, basically the deep state said we need to contain this man, and they did so. So that's, kind of a, it's a powerful, status quo type of structure, and it produces the talking points that we see in all mainstream media. It produces the messaging. If you thought, hey, how come 80% of the people in this country took an untested, genetic therapy shot, and they wore masks in their cars, and when they were out biking, why did they do that? Because, well, the messaging told them to do that, and the authority figure told them to do that, and that together, they did not have to think, and they're not used to thinking. So that's what our country is made up of, and it's very manipulatable, and that's why I just don't see. I wish I could be optimistic and say let's have a let's have an RFK for president, or, Trump, I like Trump a lot. I don't think he understands the economy as well as he thinks he does. I disagree with some of his ideas there. And so the only good thing about a second Trump term, if it could ever happen, and I don't see it, but the good thing about it is he knows who his enemy is better than he ever did. So he's learned something.
God, I hope so.
He may be very harsh.
Well, one thing that he did, drain the swamp, and then all the swamp creatures come in. And I'm like, what the heck is he? I lost all hope immediately. I mean, it was just dumb.
Seriously, if we could tell him, we're just average people who watch the news, and we try to keep track of who's doing what. We could have told him, you don't appoint this guy. You don't appoint this guy. We know this guy's background. We know this guy's biography. We know this guy's politics. He's your enemy. Why would you appoint him?
Because he thought president and having the shiny badge protected him. He thought, yeah, but I'm president. Woohoo! I kick your butt. And then here comes Schumer going, they got 15 gazillion ways to Sunday. They're going to slap you. Because Schumer knew. He knew exactly all this, the forces that were going to be allied against. The one thing that I am most impressed about Trump, other than anything else, you know, and up there along with it is his campaign ability. I mean, the boy is on the road. He is a baby-kissing, hand-shaking, you know, crowd-making guy. But the biggest thing that I give him so many props for is that he held up to this that I don't think anybody else I've ever known or met would be able to hold up against this full onslaught of what he's had to deal with. The fact that he's been able to maneuver this into selling T-shirts, that's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's awesome, and you got to respect him. And also, too, I look at – now, I'm not a fan of some of his kids. You know, I particularly, Ivanka's husband doesn't, I don't particularly care for him and his role. I wish that he had put more distance between him. I wish Trump had, you know, been more of his own person.
Right.
But however, you know, Trump has three wives. I mean, he's on his third wife, right? And he's got children with each of these wives. He has a large family. And he actually, his family seems to, you know, they're close with him and he cares about his family. I think people see that and then they intuitively get that he's kind of like us in that way, even though in every other way he's not like anybody. You know, he's very different. But I think he's got something that maybe keeps him strong, because certainly you're right. No one could have, at this point in time, with all the things they've done to him, could have, you know, maintained their attitude and, their energy level and their vision. And he's done all that, which is, great, which is why I think, regardless of whether he's on the ballot, if he's on the ballot, he could win. With a three-way race, though, he might not, because I think he's going to lose some of his anti-war voters and others to Bobby Kennedy. But if he's not on the ballot, he will get many votes anyway. We know how to spell his name. And,
they don't count those.
I mean, Trump and feel that he.
You know, and the way it is in.
No, they don't, but that takes away from.
No, I mean, they don't count them. They make sure you have to be have your right in count on. You write it in. You have to register that you're a write in. You must now count my votes, and you got to go through all the same background BS and all that kind of crap. And they do that intentionally because they don't want Mickey Mouse to win. But, you know, the big thing that I'm looking at is the social impact. That's one of the things that you get into in your article, is that we're going decentralization. You know, all this is, you know, how many, you know, Satan worshipers can dance on the head of a pin or something, you know, but it's, you're not really talking about that, other than this is just them dancing around as we get to something else. And we're evolving into something else.
That's
what
is
that?
That's right. Well, I mean, it's like what happened in the Soviet Union. You know, the people in the Soviet Union for 20, even 25 years before, maybe even longer, before it actually fell apart, their government was a joke to them. And they knew it, and they had the best jokes in the world during the Cold War, were the Russian people's jokes about their own government. You know, we pretend to work and they pretend to pay us, things like that. I mean, everyone in the Soviet Union understood that the system was not working. The system as it was described did not work, could not work, did not work, was not work, was never going to work. And so they had new systems of getting what they needed. And those had evolved: black market, gray market, any kind of market you can think of, who you know, the whole thing of how people get what they need, how people market what they want to market, how people, in many ways, like we see in this country, take advantage of the welfare state, both the at the top levels, the middle levels, and the lower levels. You know, we have a welfare state that touches the rich and the not so rich and the poor equally. We talk about it. We think, oh, it's just poor people get welfare. No, we all get welfare, and we all take advantage of it. And people, you know, when people get their checks from the government for whichever way they do it, whether it's through their company or whatever it is they do. They don't go, oh, this government is so great. It's given me a check. I just love the government. It's given me this check. No, we don't say that. We take the money and then spit on them. That's the nature of a handout. And that's what governments do too much of this. It does not garner respect amongst the population. The population is disrespectful to the government, and it says, give me that. It's like, anyway, it's just human nature. We and our government, to the extent that it's an entity, but certainly it relies on, like you said at the very beginning of this, you know, the consent of people. You know, they couldn't have masked everybody or had everybody, give everybody a shot in every arm like Biden wanted to do. They don't have the force to do that. They don't have the people to do that. But what they were able to do is get all of us to comply, and many of us to act as kind of state enforcers of whatever the rule is. So the people consent and they conform and they obey. But increasingly, when the system starts to break down, which it's been doing for a long time in this country, certainly happened in the Soviet Union, when it starts to break down, people stop consenting. And they stop obeying, you know, and they stop conforming. Now, do they do that openly? No. No, they don't. They don't do that openly, okay? They do it, you know, kind of in many ways privately. They say, oh, yeah, we like the government. We like this. We like that. But privately, they don't. And that's when great big systems that are too complex and too centralized fail, like the Soviet Union, and like what's happening in this country, it happens. The people know. The people sense failure well in advance, and they are already working on what comes next. And so that's a very exciting thing. And you know this because you've been working in this for so long. You've seen it for years, for decades. I mean, we could go back before Ron Paul, but Ron Paul's era as a congressman and as a spokesperson for in the Fed and things like that. You know, that's really the time frame that we're kind of talking about. And what have we seen? People are very oriented towards. They may like politicians or complain that this guy doesn't do that or whatever. But in their lives, we are not looking for government help. We don't trust it. We'll take it if we can get it, but we're not counting on it. Do we obey the government? Well, one little factor I like to look at is how many people drive, you know, 65 on a, you know, on the highway when it's 65. And how many drove 55 when it was 55 on the interstate? Nobody. If you drive the speed limit, clover.
They're on your butt.
Can the police enforce that? Well, only they can enforce it in a small level. They can enforce it, which is why we see the huge growth of the surveillance state. Why so much domestic surveillance, and why so many domestic databases, and you know, why the effort to spy on Americans and to have everybody see something, say something. You know, there's a reason for that, but it's not for us. It's for survival of the government, because they also understand, when I say the government, it's survival of the powers that be, the deep state, the status quo situation, because there's way more of us than there is them, and they're getting nervous. They're getting very nervous. It's a great thing. I mean, I'm optimistic about it.
Well,
nervous, going on for a
they're
long
getting
time.
Nervous about what?
Much is it?
What is there really, you know, the establishment nervous about? As we say,
getting nervous, I think, well, obedience. It's that thing we talked about before the show. Obedience, disobedience, misobedience. They don't want us to communicate with each other. And they don't want us to joke about the government. They don't want us to make fun of the authority figures. You know, they want us in public school where they can teach us how not to think, and they can deprive us of learning about history. But that's not working. That's not working. You know, the Internet, even with all of its flaws, even with Google blocking out, you know, and telling us what we can find when we do a search, you know, even with that, it's too much to control. They're in over their heads, but they can't quit. And it's, you know, you just think about what it takes to control people. Why do you think they hate TikTok? You know, I think I saw an ad where, we want all these Google, the American companies. Oh, Facebook wants to get. We can't have TikTok. We can't have TikTok because they collect data. What? All those guys collect all our data. They don't. They're worried the Chinese are going to collect it. Hey, you know, I'm not as worried about that. But what really worries them about TikTok? They can't control and ban the stuff that's on TikTok. So say somebody has a real funny meme, just to use one meme, but there can be a zillion of them. But let's say some stuff goes out on TikTok that actually causes people to hit some where they live, kind of like the Anthony Oliver song. You know, it went viral very rapidly. And why did people like it? They had people that don't even like country music or anything like that. They don't like hillbilly music. They don't like anything like that. But they listen to that song and they go, oh, my God, this guy's speaking my language. I know what he is saying. I feel the same way. The government hates that because that's us people talking to other us people. You know?
And I think that's he handled that really saying, hey, well also by just going, hey, man, I'm not signing your gazillion-dollar contract and selling out the whatever. I'm reading my Bible. I'm up in the mountains. I'm just expressing myself. You guys can suck it. Then he gets on Jordan Peterson, goes on Rogue, goes everywhere. And that is the viral swan event kind of thing that, you know, it's all of a sudden somebody don't want to go to the back of the bus. And this is what we are so primed for right now. And when you, in your article, as you go through this, you know, you kind of get towards, there is a reckoning with humanity that is coming to decentralization of, you know, we just don't care. You know, it's not, you guys do whatever you're going to do, and we're going to take care of our community, family, children, grandchildren, grow our own food, raise our own kids, homeschool.
Yeah, and also, you remember the other song that was viral right before, maybe a month before the Anthony Oliver song? It was, of course, not in my town. And, of course, the left got all up in arms about that because that was actually a video sold by mainstream Hollywood music producers, right? I mean, it wasn't a guy singing from the heart necessarily, although the lyrics had the similar effect. People go, oh, yeah, that's how I feel. And they woke up to it a little bit. And, of course, that guy was owned. You know, that musician, not particularly owned, I mean, he's a good guy, but his label, you know, they edited his video afterwards because I think they took out the image of the courthouse in Tennessee somewhere, which had a blighted past according to the woke people, and so they took that out, you know, to not offend anybody. There's a huge vibrancy in the country. You may not see it in you know, the way it looks per se, the cities and jobs and the people are, you know, they're not in the best of shape really, but there's a sense that this has to stop.
If I had those golden dreams.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA News Update. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says
the savage attacks that Hamas perpetrated against innocent Israelis are mind-boggling, slaughtering families in their homes, massacring hundreds of young people at an outdoor festival.
He vows that Israel's actions against enemies will resonate for generations. The death toll nears 1,200 with thousands injured on both sides. Amidst the ongoing conflict in Israel, U.S. airlines like American Airlines, United, Delta Air have halted flights to Tel Aviv. Investigators looking into the improper storage of more than 100 bodies at a Colorado funeral home are working to establish contact with the families affected. It's in Penrose, which is about 30 miles southwest of Colorado Springs. Officials confirmed Friday that Fremont County Coroner's Office is working to identify the bodies, but that process could take several months. That's the very latest. I'm Dave Collins, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readers of FreemansPhoenix.com get every day. Readers of FreemansPhoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda. But we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides an understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears is already mature. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, on the Free Talk Live Network on Genesis. We're continuing our conversation with retired Lieutenant Colonel from the Pentagon, Karen Katowski. Now, she is very informed. She writes a great deal. You may have seen her stuff on the Internet on various platforms. And she's an activist. She's been a candidate before. She's a big Ron Paul supporter. And she knows what's going on from the inside. And I just love having conversations with Karen Katowski. Let's listen in on her perspective and learn something. There is a reckoning with humanity that is coming to decentralization of, you know, we just don't care. You know, it's not, you guys do whatever you're going to do, and we're going to take care of our community, family, children, grandchildren, grow our own food, raise our own kids, homeschool, do your
right. Yeah, and also, you remember the other song that was viral right before, maybe a month before the Anthony Oliver song? It was, of course, not in my town, not in a small town. And, of course, the left got all up in arms about that because that was actually a video sold by mainstream Hollywood music producers, right? I mean, it wasn't a guy singing from the heart necessarily, although the lyrics had the similar effect. People go, oh, yeah, that's how I feel. And they woke up to it a little bit. And, of course, that guy was owned. You know, that musician, not particularly owned. I mean, he's a good guy. But his label, you know, they edited his video afterwards because I think they took out the image of the courthouse in Tennessee somewhere. It had a blighted past, according to the woke people. And so they took that out, you know, to not offend anybody. There's a huge vibrancy in the country. You may not see it in you know, the way it looks per se, the cities and jobs and the people are, you know, they're not in the best of shape really, but there's a sense that this has to stop, and this over centralization of power and this authoritarianism and this war in other countries. And of course, you know, we said this every show, war is the help of the state, of course, long been observed. When we're at war, we always bring the war home, both to force patriotism and obedience while the war is happening, and then when the war is over, it's ratcheted. We don't ever go back to where we were. So this increase of central control and authoritarianism has been going on for a long time.
Until it doesn't. And, do you feel that it's not going?
Right. Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I think systemically, it will collapse eventually. But what I think, and maybe I'm just an optimist, but I think it is going to happen much sooner. And I'll tell you another quote. This is, of course, the famous line by Hemingway. You know, the guy asked the guy, how did you go bankrupt? And he goes, oh, gradually at first, and then suddenly. And that has been popping up in all kinds of things in the past couple of years, you know, as people try to figure out what's coming. And it can happen. Decentralization can happen very rapidly. And in part, the same enemy that we have, which is the government control of the networks and government control of the messaging and government surveillance. And we go, oh, that's, you know, technology is AI. All this is used by the government. It's going to really help them maintain authoritarianism and control. At the same time, all that technology also works for us. I mean, you know, you think about energy technology. What are people doing with these electric car batteries that won't run a car, but they still store? There's a whole second market for your homestead, you know, or your barn or whatever, you know, to store solar power that, oh, by the way, can be generated in a decentralized manner, you know,
You know, this is one thing I wanted to point out, is that there has been a lot of criticism of, you know, already you're electric, you know how many, you know, African kids die making electric solar panels or some crap like that. And I'm going, look, I don't look at it that way. I see it as decentralization. I'm in freaking Arizona. Are you kidding me? You know, of course I'm going to have, you know, solar panels and so on. So we already pre-bought a bunch of up to like, I don't know, like 9 kilowatts of power that we're making. We had the 40 kilowatts of batteries. We have you know, all the wiring, everything. We're ready to go, infrastructure. But what happened was in the build, we needed some equipment to do processing of the dirt and, you know, different things that we're doing. Well, what did I do? Everything that I got has an electric motor that goes to a hydraulic pump. Electric motor, hydraulic pump for the press. Electric motor for the trommel, you know, to separate the soil. We got this and electric. The reason is because I knew that if I didn't, I'm having to depend on diesel. I'm having to go buy fuel. I'm having to store it, keep it there. Why? You know, it's not because I'm not an environmental. I mean, I'm for as green and not polluting my fresh new, you know, Arizona desert dirt. But I mean, my big thing is decentralization. It's like we're not off the grid. We're above the grid. You know, I'm like, nope. I can just run for free. I could do it. I mean, if I could put a big extension cord in the back of the skid steer, I'd do that. In fact, I got ideas. So this is just a, they don't understand the decentralized nature of these kinds of choices. They don't understand how we, you know, like Biden will go, oh, no, we can't have a pipeline because my friend Buffett gave me a bunch of money over here and needs to fill up his train tankers, you know. And I'm going, well, what he's not realizing that people go, look, I don't need any of y'all. I'll take care of it myself. You know, we'll do solar water wheel or whatever the heck, you know. So the thing is, decentralization, that's what's coming. And in the last paragraph of yours, I just want to get this in, then we'll keep talking. You know, if history rhymes, this is what Karen's saying at the last paragraph, if history rhymes, and some say it does, we will have our own Gromyko in 2025. Soon after, and sooner than many think, we'll watch our country and also the world decentralize in powerful ways that the angry mutterers in both parties cannot understand. Entropy comes from the Greek entropia, meaning a turning towards transition. It's coming to America, and that's not a theory.
Yeah. Yeah, the decentralization is coming. Oh, and let me say this, since you're talking about the grid, getting off grid or above grid, you know, electric, problem with electric in this country and other places, but particularly in the United States, of course, it's all heavily government subsidized. So the real true costs are not accounted for and recognized in the market. But something that's going to break our grid, you know, the power grid, like you get to east, west in Texas, right? The power grid for the United States. And some of it, Canada shares some of it, I think, to the north. It's going to get broken by electric cars. Electric cars and all the chargers. I mean, this push, which is all government-directed, not market-driven. I mean, I'm not, like, there is a market for electric cars for sure. But the push comes from the government. The subsidies come from the government. And our grid's not ready to support that. And it will break. And as it breaks, of course, it's not going to break in one piece. You know, it's not going to break at one time. It's going to break in the sense that it becomes more unstable and more unreliable, driving more people to say, hey, what's Ernie doing? Well, man, I want to do that. And so we continue to adapt. And that adaptation decentralizes. And decentralizing, it will save lives. It will save lives, and it will save the environment, and it will save really everything. It won't save the empire, okay? And it won't save the United States military. It won't save the U.S. Congress. And it won't save the so-called United States of America as a republic, because we're not a republic, we're an empire. The empire will collapse and decentralize itself as well. And people that are invested in the politics of that will feel pain. They will feel pain. I'm not worried about how they're going to come out on the other end, because most of them are wealthy, and wealthy people always, you know, bounce around, make their way. But I think in their visions and their expectations, they will have them crushed. They won't be powerful in the way that they currently are. And people that have power in the United States government, particularly the power of, let's say, the power to regulate, the power to create laws, the power to enforce laws, all these things that they have power to do, that goes away. It goes away because of decentralization. It goes away because there aren't any people to obey them. The obedient classes are have changed and transformed themselves into something else that is not obedient or less obedient. And so all this is happening, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing, and there are no negatives except for those that are thoroughly invested in the current system. That system is dying. This is why I'm talking about Gromyko. You know, he was the last of the old Soviet Union.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I want you to be more specific about, you know, the system is dying, and I'm going, okay, define the system and how it's dying. You know, like a military-industrial complex, the central banking, the central bank digital currencies, the surveillance state, the, you know, whatever, blah, blah, you know, the Internet. I mean, there's so many, you know, they forcing and pushing people into alternative medicine, alternative education, alternative energy, alternative governance, alternative, meaning not them. Well, what is them? What's their hold? What's their strangle on this? And what has to happen before everybody just goes, nah,
okay,
we're done?
Okay. Well, Anthony Gregory, I hate to keep coming back to him, but he said something like, in his songs, he had a phrase, our money ain't shit. Okay, there you go. There's a starting point. You know, this government, the federal government, not the states. Most, I think every single state has a balanced budget amendment. They have debt, but they're able to pay their debt with their assets. But the federal government, of course, has no restriction on its debt, and that lack of and they also own their own bank, which is the Federal Reserve. So they can borrow money at will, create money at will. And that's really in controlling the money. That is how this U.S. empire, U.S. republic, whatever you want to call it, it's not a republic, but that's how the government, that's how the United States has kept its power intact. It is over control of the money. And, you know, Bitcoin, how long has Bitcoin been out? Decade, 15 years now, since they first started with the blockchain,
like
09, and things like that. Well, yeah. So the government, the banks, immediately saw that as a threat. And they were smart because it is a threat. You know, this idea that we can actually trade in whatever currency we choose, not a national fiat currency, but anything we want to, yeah. So this is a problem for them. But let's just look, forget even about Bitcoin. That comes up as part of the solution, one of the many, you know, ways that people will cope when it collapses. But the ruble, the American ruble, which is the dollar, is going to, it's already been devalued, consciously devalued by the Fed and the government spending. But it will end up having to be reset. I mean, if it's not going to go into hyperinflation, it will simply just not be it will no longer be the currency of choice. No one will trust it, and people will increasingly not use it, which, of course, is what we're seeing with a number of trends globally, with people saying, yeah, I need to be off the petrodollar. I mean, who would have thought Saudi Arabia would ever sell oil in anything but the dollar? But they sell it in a number of things now. That's a huge, huge change that we prevented for, I mean, 80 years or so since we, you know, got involved with Saudi Arabian oil and their government and the Middle East. So these things are changing, and this $33-34 trillion in current debt that the government has right now, that they're fussing and fighting, oh, we got to keep the government open. Why? Really? I don't understand. But they have this humongous debt that is really unimaginable, and it is not possible to pay this off. The only thing we ever pay on that debt is interest. And, of course, the interest rates are higher, so that's just becoming a significant burden on the state. But let's say we wanted to pay the capital back, that the state said, you know, yeah, we're just borrowers like anybody else, and we intend to pay back the money that we borrowed. No, they don't intend to. They're not going to. But even if they did, let's say somebody elected president said, oh, we're going to make it right. We're going to pay back. No, you're not. There's not enough resources to do it. And the global debt in a similar fashion of other governments around the world is more than there is on the entire planet. We would have to colonize Mars and enslave it. Let's assume there's little Martians there. We can make them work as slaves. Even then, we wouldn't be able to pay back the debt that's been accumulated by the governments of the planet. But certainly the United States government has accumulated a lot of the debt. And we cannot pay it back, and we have no intention of paying it back. We also have an aging population who were promised many entitlements, that many of them paid into Social Security. You'll never see that money. I mean, that's new money that pays you if you're on Social Security. But there's not enough. That's, I think, $250 to $275 trillion of entitlement promises that are not going to be funded. So this kind of debt breaks the system. And it's not that it breaks it because you're going to pay it back. No, because they're not going to pay it back, and they're not going to make good on those entitlement promises. It breaks because you recognize that it can't be paid back, and you have to reset the money. So, you know, we have the global, World Economic Forum people talking about their great reset. Now, they don't talk about the money, but honestly, the only real reset that's going to happen to these governments is the reset of their money. And this causes huge problems because, people realize, wait a minute, you're telling me what to do. You're this authoritarian government. You're looking out for me. You're telling me what to do. From the time I get up in the morning, time I go to bed, I'm constantly being managed by my government. And all of a sudden, and you give me money to operate with, and I have complaints, and all of a sudden now it's not worth anything. Guess what? You know, if you have any strains of disobedience or misobedience in your society, which we see in our society, much as we saw to a great level in the Soviet Union society, distrust of government, they didn't believe anything the government said. They acted like they would obey, but they really wouldn't. That's what they did. That's what we're doing. So we're ready. We're ready to
Who regulate the barbecues and your heater and your stove? I mean, somebody's got to, keep track of your appliances.
Yeah, well, those guys who all do that now are not going to have a lot of friends, and they will quickly learn to do other things that are more valuable in their communities. Otherwise, they'll starve or get themselves beat up. People are not going to respect, we have a huge, little prime example of what we're talking about, just a small one. News this summer about college degrees and how many, many, many universities, both state and private, are taking a look at all the degrees that they offer, and they go, oh my God, most of these don't have jobs associated with them. You know, they don't help our students. And since they know that, all the colleges are really competing hard for college students, right?
And they need alumni that make money and give it back to the college. That was one of the big things that funded them.
That's right, too.
They don't have them out there. Nobody's got a job. How are they going to send a letter to the alumni? Oh, support our whatever. And they go, yeah, as soon as I pay off my student loan at McDonald's, you know.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So that's actually market pressures that are being exercised in spite of, and at the same time we're overwhelmed by wokeness in the university. At the same time, the guys, the presidents of the universities and the departments that monitor the demographics and the futures and the degrees, they're making the right decisions. They're saying, oh my gosh, we have to compete for students, and we have to develop the kind of alumni that can support us. And how do we do that? And I'll tell you, a little college down here changed their way of doing business. It's a private college, very expensive, but I say very expensive. There's plenty of them that are just exactly the same expensive in the area. But what they're doing to attract students is they cut their tuition in half. They cut it in half. I mean, it's a major cut, and for the in-state students. Now, they didn't do it for the out-of-states, but they did it for the in-states. And I think it's usually a strategic decision. They're trying to be out in front. They're trying to get more people that they can then develop community with, right? We want more in-state students, and we want more in-state alumni that we can then tap into, and all of this stuff. Very smart, and they don't want them to have to borrow so much, because guess what? Paying the government, paying the Department of Ed back for some cosmically high and never-ending student loan debt, that takes money out of the university pockets because there's less money for their alumni to donate to them. So, and the alumni is paying this bill, and going, oh my God, I'm never telling anybody to go to college. Look what happened to me, right? So they're dealing with the marketplace, which is now they have to compete for students, and we still see some universities, I think there's like 70-something of them in the whole country, that still require stupid COVID shots. But what about all the rest of them? What about the other 4,000 or 5,000 or 10,000? Obviously, no COVID shot. Forget that. That's bull crap. That deters people from coming to our school. We cannot have that. We must compete. We must have students. So looking at the kinds of degrees that they're going to offer, what makes sense in the future, you can learn a lot from what they're saying. And what are they saying? Well, science, growing food, you know, technology, information, engineering, the same things we always thought of as the kind of things you would have. And unfortunately, they're not learning history. They're not doing as much English, but that's been fading for a while. And that's sad. But where we are in history, it will be, can you work? Can you build? Can you produce? That's where we are in this country. And that's what's going to be needed after we get our own Gromyko, after our system decentralizes and spins the, really, I think, the end of empire and the end of D.C. Is coming. So as it decentralizes, what are we going to be looking for? It's just like in the early days of any country, but the early days of our own country. And many people are saying it's similar to, you know, the attitude, the feeling is similar, the spirit is similar to 1775. We're feeling this sense. And what was valued then? Well, can you clear land? Can you build, can you work metal? Can you, you know, produce food? Can you train horses? What is it that you can do that's useful? Do you know how to store food? Can you process things that, other people need? Can you sew? You know,
There's a meme that I just put up on the site. It went like this, and it has an asteroid coming in, you know, hitting the Earth. And the meme goes, when the existential event happened 12,000 years ago, the survivors continued on using the skills they used in daily living. If it happens tomorrow, we are effed. Very few know these skills today. So this is the one thing that is very interesting, certainly in America. If we have, you know, some big giant, oh my God, existential, whatever the heck, who knows how to start a fire? I mean, you know, it's like, this is very simple, basic eating, growing, educating, you know, community, market, well, where I can get my next meal from, what am I going to use for currency, whatever. We are so dependent on technological babysitters for freaking everything, you know, walk us through the hedgerows. We need to make sure that we have some fundamental basic skills of you don't die from starvation, duh. Well, that is gone, and it sure as heck is not in education system. So this is why when you get some hillbillies, you know, in Appalachia, or guys living in the desert, or homeschooling their families, and then you get them in college class, and they actually can think. What do they think? Doesn't even really matter. It's that they can think, you know. So can think means maybe you can eat.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is going to happen soon. With all the distractions in the media, we probably won't see it coming. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Those in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing. But you know better. American families are preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their three-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Order by 3 p.m., and your items ship the same day. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. Who listens to radio at night? EMTs? Truck drivers? Law enforcement? And many other hard-working people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.